Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 68, and I'm talking to my friend Rissa Poling. You guys, this is such a lovely conversation. I learned so much. My favorite thing about Rissa is that she doesn't think she has anything of importance to say. And so she'll say, like, I have no idea. And then the next thing that comes out of her mouth is like amazing wisdom. So if you can get past the her telling you that she has no idea what she's talking about, the next thing is going to be just serious gold. In this episode, we talk about, she has four kids. That's overwhelming. It overwhelms me to like hear about it. She talks about how hard it is to know what activities to put your kids in, how tricky it is when there's so many birthday parties. We talk about love languages. And she talks in a really beautiful way about how she seeks God on behalf of her kids to know what to do next. And in the end, when we were kind of done with the interview part, and I was still recording, I just left it on because it was hysterical. We tried to unpack a hymn that I was struggling with that we were singing at my church. And since she does worship at her church, I thought she could help me, but she was no help at all. But it was pretty hysterical. Oh, and I wanted to tell you guys real quick. So it's the holiday season, and I have not taken a break from doing a new podcast for over a year, and I super love it, and it's just a joy in my life. But I'm gonna take a break next week. I'm not gonna be here. So listen to an old one. I hope your Christmas is absolutely delightful. I hope you get a new Lexus with the big red bow on top. I hope you get to eat your favorite food and see your favorite people. All right, here is the episode with Rissa.
Hey, Rissa, how are you today?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
I'm so good.
So
awesome.
What'd
you do this morning?
I got out of bed. Thanks. So that was big for me, getting out of bed some mornings. And I ran to the grocery store because we had no milk.
I love the grocery store in the morning.
Okay, we live in sort of the gateway to Yosemite. So everybody who's going to Yosemite travels on our road. Okay. And there are tour buses that come from San Francisco to go to Yosemite. And I timed it just right this morning where two busloads of tourists were at the grocery store with me.
Okay.
It was so fabulous. Good. I mean, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Usually there's like four people at the grocery store. Not this morning. There was literally like 45 people all getting sandwiches or whatever. I don't know what they were taking to Yosemite, but
that is so funny. The worst for us is, and it's really not the worst, is when all the firemen come at the same time.
Why do you have firemen?
I don't know. They all just bring the fire truck and go shopping.
Oh.
They seem to always go shopping when the firemen go shopping, and I promise I'm not following them to the okay, so I know you from a small group we were in.
Yes, it was a good group too.
It's a good group. And I really just like talking to you. I like that you're very honest and you think a lot of deep thoughts. I don't know. I just liked hearing your take on life and motherhood and all that stuff. And so I wanted to talk to you today. You said that one of the concerns you have is that you're going to mess up your kids.
Right?
I have that same concern.
Yeah. I mean, because it's not going to be hard to do to mess them up.
All we have to do is be ourselves.
Exactly. All I have to do is open my mouth. You're screwed up.
So what do you, like, what's your biggest fear?
I think making choices for somebody else's life is really hard for me. It's really hard for me to make choices about my own life. Mm. And now I have these four people who, like, not only do I have to keep them alive and have to keep going to the grocery store for milk in the morning, but now I have to make choices for their school. and I have to make choices about what we're going to do, what activities we're going to say yes to, and what activities we're going to say no to. And there's so much pressure to do everything. And I know it's not good for my kids to do everything. And so how do I decide? How do I weigh what's the most important and what's going to feed them with the things they need to be fed with and not just my insecurities or my goals for them?
So how do you pick?
I just don't do anything.
There you go.
We just back out of everything. We just stay at home. I don't know. I joke about that, but it's sort of true to a certain extent. I've put up like boundaries in my heart for my kids' activities. They're not allowed to play organized sports until they're 8.
Okay. How old are your kids right now?
Okay. So I have Caleb is 12, Logan is 10, Miley is 8, and Dylan is 6.
Okay. So no sports until they're 8.
No organized sports. We do gymnastics with our homeschool group, but that doesn't count for me because they're all in the same class together. And whatever, it's PE.
Yeah,
but no organized sports, no rec leagues stuff.
Because of the time it takes?
Because of the time it takes, because of what it does to our family. Like, soccer season is no joke around here.
Okay.
We run like crazy banshees during soccer season, trying to get kids to practice and hanging out at the soccer field all day on Saturdays. It's a nightmare.
And do they really like it?
Yeah, but kids like everything that you put in front of them. At least my kids do. They're like, oh yes, cool. I'll play in dirt. I'll play with frogs. I'll play with boxes. I'll play soccer. You know, they're yes people. Okay. They want to do everything. So filtering that for them is really tough because they want to do everything.
And you think like, what if they could have been amazing at this other thing and I didn't give them that?
Yes. I mean, Olympian, future Olympian, I'm sure, but I'm going to miss their calling. I'm going to totally miss it. And they're going to not be an Olympian. It's going to be all my fault.
And it's going to be really bad.
I'm mostly worried about them, like, spiritually as adults. You know, I want them to be well equipped as kids, but I know it's not in my control to make their lives turn out so that they are, you know, mature, God fearing adults. God has to do that, right? But there's something difficult about letting God do that and about not stressing over what I'm doing right or what I'm doing wrong or, you know, my tone of voice every time I talk to them, which,
oh my gosh,
you know, it does need work. I'll have to be honest.
I know. Tone
but am
is so
I screwing
hard.
Them up when I'm, you know?
Okay, so what do you do that you think is helping their spiritual development?
I don't really know. I struggle with that. We do a lot of church stuff. My husband's a pastor, though. Okay. So it's sort of a given that we're going to do a lot of church stuff. I want their church experience. I want their experience with God and the evidence of God in our lives to be positive, not work-related.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we went to church because my dad was a pastor. No, like, we went to church because we love Jesus.
Yeah.
And we did all this stuff because God tells us these are the things that are good for us. But when it's a job or a career or whatever, sometimes that's a tricky boundary,
mm-hmm.
a tricky line. So how do I tell the kids how much Jesus loves them and then, you know, tell them to stop running through the church because they feel comfortable at church because it's dad's job, it's where he's at, you know, like disciplining them and training them in the way that is good for them in the long run.
Yeah.
Not just good for us today or for whatever. It's a tricky road.
Do you sense that they kind of care about spiritual things at this point? Because I asked my daughter the other day, I'm like, listen, because bedtime is hard. I'm over it by the end of the day. And I feel guilty that it's not like very structured and very beautiful. And there's lots of like petting of the hair and like snuggles and, you know.
Is anybody doing that? Is that a for real thing?
In my mind that they're doing it.
Okay.
And I'm just like slamming my kids in their room and saying.
Okay, you and me are slamming kids. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but.
I'm not slamming. I'm slamming the door. Maybe I didn't. No.
Take them up and throw them in.
No, that's not happening. But I think that I asked. So I finally asked my daughter, like, "What do you want from me at the end of the day? Because I need to do the bare minimum, but I want to do a good job. But I want to do a good job, you know." And so I was like, "Do you like when I?" So she likes if I read her a chapter of a book. So great. We do that. And then I said, well, do you want me to like talk to you or do you like when I pray with you? She goes, well, I like when you pray with me if I want to stay up later. I'm like, okay.
That's rad.
So that's my question. Like, do your kids act like they care about that stuff? Because my kids only use it as a tool.
I don't know. This week, a couple of days ago, I guess, I went in. Miley was worried about something. And so I told her I'd sit down and I prayed with her. And before I was done with my prayer, she was asleep.
Oh, okay.
So it was obviously like inspirational.
It was. Riveting.
She felt it did something for her. I think the older ones definitely are starting to make sense of the things that we've been telling them and have some personal application in their life. And then once in a while, they'll say, well, I guess God is doing this.
Okay.
You know, when we're complaining or griping about whatever, or just being honest with them about where we're at, they'll go, well, it sounds like God is moving in this way and that way. And you go, oh, okay. Well, yeah, you have a little bit of spiritual perspective in your life. That's good to see.
Yeah, that is good. See, okay. So I talk to my daughter. I talk about my daughter like she doesn't care, but it is funny the things that come out and when it comes out, because she had a piece of board. My husband was doing something with a saw and wood in the garage. I don't know what was happening in there. But my daughter had a Sharpie and a piece of like the extra piece of wood. And she wrote down, you know, Galatians 5:22. Yeah, she's writing out the fruits of the Spirit. I'm like, okay, it's in there.
There you go. That's all that matters. Baby steps, right?
Yeah. It's just hard to know if it's making any difference, but you desperately want it to. And it's easier to give up than care a whole lot and it not go well.
And have it not go your way. I know. And if we could get like an indicator, like if kids had like a spiritual gauge on their foreheads or something, and you're like, okay, you're doing good. Like you're partially filled. Like I see my progress. I see your progress.
It is hard because you can't see progress. I love washing dishes and making beds. I love the, and I don't love those things, but I love that there's progress and you can see I did it or I didn't.
Yes. Kids, not so much.
Nope.
It's kind of all out there.
It is.
And then you cross your fingers.
And then okay. So you told me also that you struggle with celebrating and with rejoicing. And I think that's might be why I like you so much, because I just feel this kindred sense of.
That's so good to hear about yourself. That's so good.
I don't mean that in a bad way. You're just so honest. And I'm like, oh, good. You're not doing that like super great all the time either.
No, not super great.
So like, tell me about that.
I wish I was better about it. So we have four kids. Like that, me still saying that is difficult for me to swallow sometimes. Four kids. It's okay. Overwhelming.
Yeah. Did you mean to have four kids?
Oh no, that was an accident.
Okay. All four or just the last one?
We had the one and then we tried for the second and it took a while. And then we're like, maybe a third. And then before we like got that word third out of our mouths, we were pregnant.
Okay.
And then we got fixed. And then the fourth came.
Oh.
Surprise. Okay. Four sounds so good. Let's do four. After I cried for 6 months, it's been nothing but great. Like God's plan is so good. Four kids was so us, but it's still overwhelming in my brain for me to understand. Like birthdays are hard for me.
Why?
Because they keep coming. And I feel like there's so much that you're supposed to think about when a kid has a birthday.
Okay.
And my kids just stinking keep having birthdays. And so this is another like mom of the year moment for me, but I just decided we weren't going to have birthdays every year. We were going to have birthday parties every year. We celebrate with family and we always do, you know, whatever the kid wants to do or eat or whatever, we do that. And, you know, there's presents. It's not like I'm a total Grinch, but we don't do like friend birthday parties every year because I can't. Okay. So we do them like on the big years, like 5, 10, 13. Okay. I guess we'll do it at 16. And then maybe kids don't want birthday parties after that.
Who even knows?
I don't know. I don't even know.
That's a great idea because they're the worst.
Is it just me?
No.
They really are the worst, right?
I like get shivers when I drive by Party City because I'm like, no.
No, I know. And you have to, these days, you have to coordinate your plates and your napkins and your balloons.
Nope.
And then have party favor bags that, you know, rival Super Bowl.
I know. It's like Christmas for everyone who can.
Yes. And I don't do that well. So I stopped doing it. I'm a quitter.
How do your kids take that? That's great.
It just is. It just is.
Okay.
And sometimes it'll come up. So I teach Sunday school, second through fourth graders, which I've had one of my own children in that class, like since I've been teaching it. And it's a like, obviously my kids are getting older and I still keep teaching the same age, but my kids keep phasing into this class. And so I'll talk to the kids in the class and say, you know, we'll talk about birthday parties or whatever is going on in the kids' lives. And my kids are like, yeah, we don't get birthday parties. Like, so it comes up, like, they know, but they don't complain about it because they are still getting celebrated to a certain extent.
You still get to choose what you're doing. Like, it's still fun.
Right? There's nothing to complain about here, people.
Calm down.
Cake. You're still getting a dinner or something and presents. You still get spoiled rotten by your grandparents.
So I just let the kids do whatever they want that day, like, and we all do it with them. So they think that's awesome.
What do they pick?
Always Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
For dinner. Well, for all the meals. So poor guys, if their birthday's on a Sunday, no birthday.
Nope.
No. And yeah, wherever they want to eat and whatever they want to do and in whatever order they want to eat. And I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
See, it's the little things.
Well, and the thing is, then you don't have to plan anything all day. Kind of takes some pressure off you as the mom.
Yeah, it's nice.
So celebrating, is it mainly like just birthdays that are an issue or just like celebrating everyday, I don't know, things?
I wish I was good at celebrating everyday things or like the non-important stuff, you know, just celebrating today because it's today or celebrating today because we haven't celebrated anything in a while and we need a breath of fresh air in that regard. And so we're just going to eat cake today. You know, I want to be like that, but I so often find myself trapped in this world where I just want to like sigh all the time and like be over things or be lazy. I am like a solid underachiever in my life. And so I always want to cave to that. And I always want to like stay in bed just a little bit longer and like do one less thing than I have to do. But I want to have probably God's perspective to say there are so many things around us that are gifts that he's given, but I don't see it because I'm like sighing. I'm complaining. I'm belly aching about whatever. I don't know anything. I could find anything to bellyache about. I just don't think that's the place that God really wants me to stay in. I really feel like he has given me a huge joy. There's a huge part of life that I don't have to worry about because he's got it in control. And there's something to celebrate in that. And I want my kids to be good at that. I want them to see that God's goodness is greater than my perspective. And I want them to be excited about that. There's an aspect of trusting the Lord that takes the pressure off everyday life, takes the pressure off the monotony of the things that have to get done. And I want to be good at that, but I'm not.
When it is going well for you in that way, where do you find that it comes from? Or what are you doing that kind of changes your perspective?
I'm on my knees a lot, right? Like I'm allowing my heart to meet God's heart, probably in unrelated ways. Because if I can get on my knees in the morning before the Lord and remember that he's in charge of my life and that he loves me, my day my perspective is usually better. Okay. I think it happens for me a lot where I have this clear perspective on Sundays. Like I've gotten up, gotten ready for church. I love Sundays. I love going to church. It's my absolute favorite thing to do.
That is so cool since your husband's a pastor. Like it could very easily be different than that.
It could. I feel like God has given me grace upon grace in that area. He always meets me in the heart of my issues. And so many times that has happened at church. And I feel like, yes, I am going to keep going to church because he keeps meeting me in all of the nastiness that I am. He keeps showing up at church with me. So I keep going. And then as I go, he keeps saying, hey, look at this thing that's bigger than you. Look at this thing. And it becomes a breathing spot for me where I can take a deep breath, remember the truth about life, and then walk in it and then be reminded to keep moving forward in it.
I've always find right after church is tricky because everybody's hungry and it never goes well. And it's always such a stark contrast to how lovely church was.
Right. And sometimes getting to church, maybe it's just us.
Yeah. No.
We're like yelling at all the people. Go, go, go. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Oh my goodness. And freaking out. And then we show up to church and we're like, I don't really want to talk to anybody, but somewhere in the course of just being there, God does his deal.
Yeah.
He's good at that.
You were saying that part of the struggle with celebrating was kind of showing love to your people on a regular basis. And I was going to ask you, like, what is your, you know, the love language book or whatever? What do you love? How do you love to be shown love?
That is such a hard question for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I really don't know. I've read the book.
Okay.
I tend to not like to fit into anybody's picture
of
what they want from me. And so there's a little bit of like rebelliousness.
Well, defiant. Yes.
I know. I am defiant.
Well, you said you don't like to do tons of stuff, which by the way, no, listen, by the way, like you said it like it's a bad thing, but I think it's really good. We always are in our culture told we need to do more. And I like that you're like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
So would quality time be your thing?
Yeah, unless I want to be alone. Okay. Which happens kind of a lot. Like, I don't know. I'm totally an extroverted person. I get energy from being around people. But as I get older, that's changing a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm like more introverted. I need some space, people. Y'all need to back up off.
I kind of think when you have kids four kids, that's a lot of kids. Like, I would need everybody to back off too.
They just, like, their hands always want to be, like, on my belly.
On your belly?
Yeah. Or, like, it's weird. Like, the little one, like, squishes me. You know, like, not hugs me, but squishes me with his hands and says, you're like a pillow. And I'm like, get your hands off.
Oh, man. Step down.
I don't know what my love language is.
Okay.
What are my options?
Okay.
Quality time, gifts.
Acts of service.
Maybe acts of service because so maybe it's that one.
Okay. I'm Googling it. I don't know because I know it's not quality time for me because I hate quality time.
I don't really like time at all.
I hate it. And of course my husband's is quality time. And so is my daughter's. They just want to sit and like be in the same room and do nothing. And that makes my skin crawl. Oh. So I'm looking up what they are. And acts of service, totally mine.
Okay.
Just do the dishes for the love. It would be so, so good if people would help me out around here.
I hear that.
Oh, words of affirmation. That's the other one. I think those are the four.
I don't really want people to say nice things to me.
Huh. Why?
At all.
Do you think it's not true?
I just don't want to hear it.
Why?
If it is true. I have such an awareness of the pride in my life and in my heart that like, I don't need you to tell me what I'm doing good or not good really either. Cause that sucks.
Cause you already think you're doing so good.
Because I, as soon as I hear it, then I'm thinking about it.
Okay. So you feel like it feeds your pride.
It feeds my pride, yeah. And so I'm like, no, don't say that. Unless every once in a while, like, I'll call my mom and be like, Mom, do I suck at this? And she'll be like, yeah, no. You know, because every once in a while, you need an honest answer from someone about life. Like, I sing on our worship team at church. Okay. I'm not a great singer. I can carry a tune, but I love Jesus so much. And I love to worship. Uh-huh. I don't so much love to worship from a stage, but like, this is where I'm at. So every once in a while, I'll call my mom and be like, you have to be real with me. Was that awful?
Oh, does she go to your church?
Oh, she does. Oh, yeah. Oh, so my husband's a pastor and my dad is also the pastor at our church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So follow me here. My dad is the lead pastor.
Okay.
10 years ago, started this church in our town. 5 years ago, my husband started working for him while he had another full-time job as a teacher. He was doing part-time youth ministry. In the last 2 years, I think, my husband transitioned out of teaching and into full-time pastoring. So it's my dad as the lead pastor and my husband as the associate pastor. And that's just the two of them.
There you go.
And I mean, a part-time worship guy and part-time children's person and stuff.
How do you know your mom's going to tell you the truth?
Because she's my mom.
Okay.
She always tells the truth.
Okay.
Like whether you want to hear it or not.
That's awesome.
She's not like one of those American Idol moms who's like, honey, you sounded so amazing, but they were awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not that.
But what is something that you learned from her that you still do in your own mothering?
If there's like one thing that I consistently remember about my mom when I was a kid, it's that she had her Bible open a lot.
Okay.
And it wasn't necessarily like, I don't remember, oh, my mom had her Bible open every morning or whatever. But I have this picture ingrained in my head of my mom sitting with her Bible open and she's just reading her Bible in different rooms, in different places, in different seasons. She's always reading her Bible. She never told us like, you need to go sit down and read your Bible. It was never a chore for us to do. But her example in that, I think, created in me that hunger and the seeing the value of being in the Word every day. And so I think that's something that I followed in my adulthood because of what my mom was.
What age did you kind of start to read on your own? Was it like while you were in like junior high or high school or is it as an adult?
No, it wasn't as an adult.
Okay. I'm just wondering if my kids are going to start walking around with their Bibles.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know if your kids are. My kids are not. So whatever. I feel like my faith was handed to me on a platter. My dad was a pastor from the time I was like 4 or 5. My parents were like faithful people. They loved Jesus and they served Jesus. It was their life when I was a kid. I mean, it still is now, but I could see it all the time when I was a kid. But I didn't get faith and the importance of what I was doing. I was living for the Lord. I was faithful, but I didn't understand it at all until I was in my 30s.
Okay.
I was 32 when like the realization of I need to fear the Lord sank into my soul. And I saw my sin for the first time for what it was when I was 32.
Did something happen?
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you?
Well, do you want to talk about it?
So it was right after our fourth child was born.
Okay.
The oldest was 6 or 5 at the time and had the swine flu, the H1N1 thing.
Yeah.
Which I was pretty sure he was going to die. So he had, you know, fever for 10 days or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The youngest was 2 weeks old. And so I was pretty sure that the oldest was going to give the youngest the swine flu and that like all the children were going to die.
Oh my gosh.
It was like panicked. I mean, it was like one of those, you know, you just are like confident something is going to happen and it scares the heck out of you. That's where I was at. And I was so worried about it. And at the same time, I was attending a Bible study on the book of Revelation at night. There's something really scary about the book of Revelations to me. And all these things, all these fears and all of this inner turmoil was just welling up and out of my life. And I was so out of control because of the fear. So I came home from Bible study one night and I was just crying my head off asking the Lord, what the heck is going on? How am I supposed to function as a normal human being, like when life is so scary?
Mm-hmm.
And God, through his word and through a gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit, showed me my fear for what it is. And I feel like all fear is misplaced fear when it's not the fear of the Lord. Mm. And he had shown me that like all of your fears and all of your worries are becoming your worship because you worship what you fear. And so he used that time to really turn my eyes to him and see my sin. Oh, what I need to be scared about is my awfulness. Mm. What I need to be worried about is my sin and the depravity, the depth of depravity of my soul. Like Romans 1, where it lists all of the world's sins. Sharissa, you are that. You could be that. You have the potential for all of those things, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For murder, for everything. You have that potential in you. And I went, oh, yep, I am a sinner. And for the first time, the reality of that truth, I am an awful sinner.
Hmm.
And standing face to face with a loving God came into reality for me. And you know, when that happens, when we realize who we are and the depravity of our flesh, God never leaves us there. He always comes and steps into that and meets us and gives us this like loving embrace and makes, you know, makes the blood of Jesus so real and so applicable. God covered it. Jesus died for that. And it's all good. It's all taken away. And so this was the conversation that I was having with God over probably a week or two. And I felt like in that week or two, God had taken his hands and scooped me up out of my fear of sickness and death and life and put me down in a place of freedom. And it happened really dramatic. It happened that fast. Like it was in 2 weeks. I had been fearful of everything except God. And then all of a sudden I was fearful of God, but had no reason to be because he reached out to me in love and embraced me. And in that moment, I found a huge amount of freedom.
Huh, I love that. That's really powerful.
It's my song. You know, the freedom of that moment of God saying, you are so broken and I so love you and I will take care of it all. That freedom was something I never experienced until that moment.
And it hasn't gone away?
Not at all. Because I don't know. And I don't know why. Should it go away?
Well, I would hope it wouldn't.
I feel like it just gets deeper from that because my perspective now, I mean, I have to keep reminding myself of my sin, of who I am. Mm-hmm. I have to keep remembering who God is and who I'm not. I think the Bible is really good for that. But in those days, that's when all that like drama was happening in my life with the fear is when I really started digging into the word and I got actually found on our shelf. We had it all along, a 1 year Bible where you can read through the Bible in a year.
Yeah.
And I started doing that because I was hungry for whatever had just happened to me, for that freedom that I had just experienced. I was hungry for it, and I had to have it. And I started, I think it was in October, I started reading at the October point, you know, and then I have read through the Bible every year since.
Oh, that's great. You know, it's funny. I don't know why, but I think I'm a perfectionist, and it's very black and white. And I think, well, you know, you couldn't start that if it's not January 1st.
It's all off.
So dumb.
No, the 1 year Bible is cool because whatever you missed before, you're going to come back around to.
That's good.
Yeah. And God's good at, as every time we read, the scriptures have a depth to them that we didn't see the last time. There's something like so gratifying and so drawing into his presence because of that.
Yes. How does that happen? It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy that I read, like, you could read the same thing over and over and over, and then all of a sudden one time, like, the words, you know, a fist comes off the page and punches you in the face. And you're like, how can that happen? I just read that. I mean, I've been reading this forever.
Was already even highlighted.
I know. And notes taken next to it and fancy colors, whatever. And now, oh, for some reason, I get it.
Amazing. Okay, so I have a question. What is better than you expected about being a mom?
The thing that I love most right now about being a mom is the way I have individual relationships with each kid.
Okay.
That I know them. Like, when one gives me a look, I know what's in his soul. I know I know what his eyes are saying to me. Okay. And then, like, another one can slam the door in my face, and I understand what he is trying to communicate. I don't do a good job of meeting him in that place all the time. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I know what is going through their heads, at least in part, is really cool to me. And it's like that invitation that God always gives us too, right? Like, come, know my heart, come experience me. And I feel like that's kind of always available for our kids too, in a way that maybe doesn't happen in any other relationship in life, where we have this constant invitation to see our kids and see their struggle or see whatever's going on, see their hearts and meet them in that place.
For a mom who doesn't really connect that well, like, how do you stop long enough to actually see them?
I have to pray in those things all the time because it's not natural for me to relate to the kids. I had a child who in first grade was really struggling, and it was coming out by like having accidents at school.
Okay.
That was how the anxiety in his life was coming out. And it's just a really frustrating thing when your kid is like not using the bathroom appropriately. Mm-hmm. There's like nothing worse in life than cleaning up somebody else's mess. But I had to pray about that for like 3 months before I had any idea what the heck was going on.
Okay.
But I feel like God is good in that way. If we are going to seek him, even on somebody else's behalf, like our kids. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what was going on in my kid's life. But if we're going to seek God for somebody else, like, he meets us in that place. Mm. It's nothing that I do. I got nothing. I'm like clueless about life most of the time. God somehow in his amazingness just covers that and scoops me up and is like, oh, okay, I'll show you. Here you go. Here's the answer. Oh, it's a really easy answer too, you know, or not. Maybe it's really hard, but God doesn't rely on my knowledge. I just have to have the desire, you know, the desire to seek the Lord in that. And somehow he like smooths it all over with my kids.
I love that. That's beautiful. It gives a lot of hope, and it like makes it not hard. Because I think sometimes we can think it's a very, very complicated puzzle, and we have to pray the certain right way, and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves before we'll even go to God.
Right. But no, he just wants us to fight, you know, to fight for somebody else. And I was having this moment at the kids' school. The kids are homeschooled, but they go a couple days a week to class. Okay. And I was having a really hard time processing through this thing that had happened in our life. And a friend met me, and I started to justify how I felt to her. Like, I just was going on and on and on about how I felt, and sort of starting to raise my voice because I just felt passionate about being so mad about this thing. And she looked at me and said, "You don't need to justify your actions before man. The Lord is your justification. He is the only one whose opinion matters. So you don't need to tell me or anybody else why you're doing things okay. You don't need to prove yourself." And I said, "But it just makes me want to yell. Sometimes the frustration of life just makes me want to scream and demand justice. And she said, that is not how we fight. We fight on our knees. And so if you are passionate about whatever this thing is in your life, then you stop talking about it and get on your knees, because you're not going to win it by yelling. You're going to win it by praying. And she was right. I mean, she kicked my butt when she said it. But that isn't that so true about like God's goodness in our life? He doesn't need us to have a platform, and he doesn't need us to look good before the other moms in the pickup line. He just needs us to care enough to pray.
That's so good. It's really been impressed on my heart lately about what a battle this is.
It is.
It's so easy to disengage because
it's hard.
It's hard and messy and ugly and just annoying life
so
in general.
Hard.
Yep. It is so good.
And
I love that.
As soon as we're weary, at least I am, as soon as I'm weary, I'm like, all right, I got to find a show on Netflix.
Peace out.
Because this is just too much. I can't even take it anymore.
I know. And when you've got an entire world that's doing that, it's a problem.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's a battle.
It's hard, though.
Yeah. So what are your kids doing that make you just crazy right now?
A lot of things, I'll be honest. I mean, things are good, but things are crazy. They keep asking me the most ridiculous questions. Like I can see into some kind of glass ball or something. They're like asking me to predict the future, or asking me if is so-and-so going to be at church on Sunday. And I'm like, what? Like, what do I look like? I don't know any of that information. And you have to stop asking me those questions.
That's so funny. My kid asked me, where's that guy going in the car?
Yes!
How next to us? What's his name?
Exactly. We saw a group of kids crossing the road yesterday. And one of the kids said, why are all those kids crossing the road together? I don't know. Hold on. Should I be pulling over, like, and answering my kids'
questions? Should I ask him?
Should I ask him?
Well, and then sometimes I'll just give him an answer. Like, yeah.
That's Bob.
That's Bob, and he's going to the car wash. I don't know.
It's kind of, it could be fun that way.
It can be. So for a mom who is just feeling like she's having a hard time engaging, or not knowing what to do with her kids, put them in too many things, not enough things, what's going on? She's afraid she's going to mess them up. What would you say to encourage her today?
Be a quitter like me. I had told you I'm not good at encouraging or celebrating.
Oh, right.
I got no advice.
No
advice. I got no advice for anybody. But if it were me, I would step down. I would quit and bail.
Quit
on
the thing you're not sure about.
God is so patient in us as we work through some of these things in life where we say yes to too many things or say no to too many things. Mm. He's always got a way of bringing us back onto the path that he wants us to be on, you know? But it's it's a tough path. And I think our job isn't to know the future, like, you know, do the annoying thing that my kids do and keep asking God about, well, what's going to happen in the future. I don't think that's our job. But if we're willing to just trust him and follow him, and sometimes he asks us to do really crazy things or stuff that the world thinks is crazy, at least. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just think he is faithful at bringing us back to himself when we say yes to him, and when we just when we seek him and seek his heart.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm not opposed to quitting.
No, I mean, I think that's good. I like a good quit. Yeah.
I feel like it was my motto last year. I quit. Every day I was telling my husband, I quit homeschooling. And he was like, really? Again?
Again.
It's bad. So my friend, I would just show up at school and then tell her, I quit homeschooling. I don't know why I'm here today. I just showed up. But yesterday I quit homeschooling. And so she made me one of those cups that, you know, you can put she like makes the vinyl things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
And you can put it on a cup?
You put it on a cup or whatever from Target. I don't know. I feel like it's all the rage right now.
Oh my gosh. I need to get on that wagon.
Cut out letters or...
Okay. I've seen it for like shirts.
Yeah. Except you can put them on a cup.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. It's got to be some kind of vinyl, right?
It's got to be.
I don't know. She gave me a cup.
Okay.
And on the top of like... It's like a straw. It's a straw cup with a screw-on lid.
Oh, yeah.
Are you following? I don't know how
totally
to
explain it. Following, yes.
I feel like I just want to draw you a picture of it right now.
No, I get
show
it.
You.
Lid cup.
And on the top of the lid, it says, I quit, ... again. Like, because I had said it so many times, like, I quit homeschooling. I quit life. I'm done being a mom. I quit. that she was like, oh, this, you need this in writing.
That is so funny. Saying you quit, does it make you feel better? Or do you actually quit for a period? Or do you just, then what happens?
Some things I quit for real. I feel like when I say I quit, there's so much of me that is quitting my own expectations.
Okay.
Or quitting living life the way, you know, the idealistic way of how I feel like it should be lived.
Okay.
And so there is freedom in saying, no, I'm not going to do it that way just because that's how everyone else is doing it. Or I'm not going to schedule us with a bazillion activities just because I think, you know, my kid might be an Olympian. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to quit doing all that. I have to quit because I can't do everything. And I can't even live up to my own expectations, much less anybody else's expectations for my life. But The one thing I can keep doing is seeking the Lord. If I'm not living up to his expectations, it's the only one that matters.
Yeah, that's when you have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Which that's happened before too. But, you know, he always meets us with grace in that place. And so to say I quit is sort of giving myself permission to not just be going along with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Striving for really nothing in particular.
Exactly.
You make me want to quit too.
You should. Okay. I believe in you.
Thank you. Oh, man. So what is something you can't stop talking about right now, other than quitting?
Because I seriously can't stop talking about quitting. I can't stop talking about the thing that I've been talking about since I was in seventh grade, which is It's.
What?
Do you know It's? Mean?
I have no idea what you're talking about. No.
Are you joking me? Okay, is you it have to go candy? To the grocery store today. No. Don't look in the candy aisle. You have to look in the ice cream aisle.
Okay.
It's two amazingly perfect oatmeal cookies.
Okay.
With ice cream, mint or vanilla or cappuccino, sandwiched between the cookies.
And what?
The whole thing dipped in chocolate.
Okay. I am Googling this right now. Do you think it's something that's just where you live?
If it is, this is a travesty to all men. Okay. I don't think so. I think it's are a worldwide phenomenon, but they've been around forever.
They have a website. Okay, so they're in little bags.
Okay, so this is the outrageous part of the It's is that you have to be financially committed to making the dream come true because little suckers are expensive.
Okay.
But it will change the trajectory of your day.
Oh,
possibly
my gosh.
The trajectory of your life.
I am going to, look at though. They are like in California.
That's
it? Well, okay. You can only get them in Texas if you live in Austin. What?
No.
I'm so angry right now.
I'm going to send you some. No, I'll just send you
that. That wouldn't probably work.
I'll just send you the empty box.
You know, I know. I was going to say, you know, you'd quit before you touch the post office. Oh my gosh. Well, that is
seriously
really
that's a California thing. This is a call for all the people to come to California to eat an It's It.
It makes me feel better that I have never heard of that in my entire life.
I know. I had no idea that this was a California thing.
When you wrote that in the email, I thought you just were like stuttering and then you didn't say anything after. And I'm like, oh, she forgot to answer that question.
No, it's really an It's It.
Okay. I love it.
That's so hilarious.
I will see where I can drive to get one. Well, Rissa, thank you so much for talking to me. It was really fun.
Thank you for having me.
You did a great job on your first podcast.
I don't know.
You did.
It was fun, though. I like you.
I like you back. Awesome.
Did you love all of that? I really did. It was funny. I was just giving a talk this week on Psalm 40. I may have even shared this last week about how when we're waiting, we have to be patient and he draws us up out of our pit, like out of our miry, I think it talks about like a miry bog or whatever. And Psalm 40 verse 2 talks about that. And then that he puts a new song in our mouth after he gives us a place to stand. So he like draws us out, gives us a place to stand, and then puts a new song in our heart. And so she was talking about her like gross place she was in, and that when God met her and actually became real to her, she had a new song. So I thought that was really, really awesome, because that's exactly what I've been learning. So kind of like how she said the Bible just kind of reaches out and punches you in the face sometimes. It's neat. Really does apply to everything. It really is the purest and highest form of wisdom around, is found in God's word. So, so good. So what will your strategy be to struggle Chicago Well this week. I loved her explaining how she seeks God on behalf of her kids. And sometimes you have to do it for a while, but that he will always, always meet you there. So maybe this week, instead of worrying or trying harder or Googling things, maybe you just actually sit down and ask God to help with the problem you're having with your kids or with your spouse or with yourself. Maybe you have not explored the five love languages and you could read that book or look it up online and see which do you think you are, which do you think your kids are, and how can you more effectively love them or communicate the way that you would like to be loved. Maybe you get a one-year Bible and you let the Bible punch you in the face a couple times this year. It was funny, she said she found it on her bookshelf. I found a one-year Bible on my bookshelf just a couple days ago, so I think I'm gonna start reading it. Maybe like Rissa, you would love to be a quitter too. So what can you quit? And I'm gonna be a little in your business right now. What should you quit? What is that thing that you're like, I really should quit that? I just don't want to because it makes me feel important or, you know, whatever. We have reasons why we don't want to let go of things we should let go of. My husband is really, really good at helping me not take on too many things. And so now it's almost like an exchange. So if there's something that I feel excited about adding to my schedule, then he'll tell me, what are you taking out? Because you cannot become too busy that you then are not present with the family. So important and really easy to forget, at least for me. So what can you quit? Be like Rissa. Be a quitter. All right, friends. So, so thankful that you take the time to listen. It's a really big honor. When people tell me they listen to the show, I still can't believe it. So thank you. Thank you for telling your friends. Thank you for lighting things on fire and spinning signs and sending carrier pigeons. Although I have to be honest, I don't think any of you guys are really actually taking my ideas to heart, but that's all right. It's okay. Find me on Instagram at @momstrugglingwell. I love connecting with you there. And I hope you have a great week of struggling well.
What are you doing today?
It's pizza and movie night tonight, so I have to go get pizza. The kids like to make it, so I go to Trader Joe's and get the stuff for pizza, and then... Have you heard of VidAngel?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so they're being sued right now, so they might not be around for a little longer. But they are... This is their tagline, and I love it. It's a filtering... You can filter movies, so you can take out scenes that you don't want to see, words that you don't want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And their tagline is, watch movies however the bleep you want.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so for $1, you can bleep out whatever you want. Like, even they bleep out stuff in Bambi and Peter Pan and, I mean, anything you want. I bleep stuff out just for fun. I don't know.
What do you do? Do you type in a word?
No, it has a whole list of things that this thing happened. Do you want to see that? Do you want to hear this? And you can just click on it if you don't want to hear it. And then it just kind of zooms past it. So it's not like you know that you're missing anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, nice.
So you can watch it. Because my son right now, where he's at, he will repeat everything he hears. And so my daughter, who doesn't want to just watch, I don't know, VeggieTales all the time.
Yes.
If I show her something, then he's walking around saying things that are inappropriate. So it's really hard to, it's hard to do that. So movie night has totally been changed now that, because of VidAngel. So I love it.
Well, there you go.
What about you? What are you doing?
My husband's out of town. So it's basically free for all. Cereal night.
How have they been so quiet this whole time?
I locked them in the other room. We have a dungeon.
I need a dungeon.
You really do. I just threatened their lives.
That's good.
I told them not to interrupt me unless somebody was literally dying.
That's impressive. Tell them a stranger is impressed with them. Okay. Kids always really care about that stuff.
Well, I definitely will. Well, I like your podcast.
Oh, well, thanks.
Good to listen to.
Sure is fun. I hope it hasn't been too terrifying to record. Some people get really freaked out.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that I was recording. I was thinking I was talking to you.
Good.
Is that okay? Like, should it have been a little bit more formal?
I wish you would have used a little bit more proper English, but it's all right.
Cared a little bit more about...
I wanted like the King James English, but it's fine.
I was thinking about the other day because I was singing a song in my head, Holy, Holy, Holy. Do you remember that hymn? Do you guys do hymns at your church?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some like line at the end that I obviously like came back to me from my childhood, but I was like, what the heck does that even mean? Like, I do not even know the words that just came out of my mouth. Like a bulwark or I don't know. Like, it was literally like words that I was like, somebody wrote that back in the day and it made sense.
Right.
But now it makes no sense.
I love when the worship leader tells you that, what it means, you know?
Yeah. Like, we're going to be singing words that you don't know.
There's a song I love. It's, you know, something about in your arms are 10,000 charms. I'm like, I need to unpack that. What is 10,000 charms? Is it like,
is that a real song? But no. Charm bracelets?
Exactly.
Why is he carrying them all around?
That's a lot of charms. I don't know. Is he selling them? I don't know what's happening, but it's, I love the song, but tell me about the 10,000 charms. I need to know why we're saying that. Cause I'm very like practical. And so like, if my hands are not raised, I'm not singing that my hands are lifted high. Not doing
boom.
That.
Me either.
So then now as a worship leader, do you then raise your hands?
Okay. No, because that's risque. Like what? The shirt slips up and now everybody can see your fat belly hanging out.
You're squishy, like your kid says.
Squishy. And so there's other ways of raising your hands without lifting them above your head.
Just like
straight out. Like,
oh,
straight out,
to
the
out side. Is raised. Oh, good.
Because there's like this I surrender kind of, you know, like if you do it right now.
I'm doing it right now.
Yes. And I'm too.
Surrendering.
Yes. And so you're surrendering. So there's that, you know,
okay.
Like here I am, Jesus. Yeah. And I feel like that's more stage appropriate than putting the hands above the head.
And the hands are higher than when they were at your waist.
They're still uplifted.
So I could go with that, but I was raised Lutheran and we don't raise our hands.
Oh.
So even though I'm currently just at a Bible church, the Lutheran in me just is like, nope.
Cringing. Do you do like the hand on top of each other at your belly button? Like hand this is on my raised. This is
oh.
my raised. Like cupped hands at your belly button.
I'm getting more there. I'm more at the belly button, but I'm not surrendered or hands lifted high. And I certainly do not have charms.
Surrender, it like often knocks the person next to you.
That's my concern, is you knock over the person who just came to church for the first time. They're like, these people are weird. I got hit.
You do have to turn a little sideways.
The side surrender.
You have to surrender to the side. But then the charms, you know, are messed. They're all over the place.
They're all jingling.
They've all fallen.
It should have only brought 9,000 charms in.
I don't even get that.
I don't either. There's no context given. So I won't sing it.
Do you know what the song is?
I'd have to. Let me get my phone.
Google it. Are you just saying the wrong word? Because
no,
I thought like that doesn't. 10,000 goodnesses, maybe? I don't know.
Arms?
10,000 arms. 10,000 cherubim wings?
That's what? Almost. It'd have to rhyme with charms. I'm not getting it that off.
Arms. 10,000
barns? It's called 10,000 Charms.
That's the name of the song?
It's called 10,000 Charms. Come, ye sinners.
Is it about Jesus? Are we sure it's Jesus who has 10,000 charms?
In his arms are 10,000 charms.
I don't even get it.
I don't either. You were supposed to help me out with this, your worship leader.
Well, I'm not a worship leader. I'm just a backup singer.
Okay, well, you failed
me. There's such a difference. So step down.
That's true. No, here, I'm playing it for you. But you can Google it. This will just be under, this will be background music for our conversation. Come ye sinners is what it's called.
Come you sinners?
Come ye sinners.
Ye? Like ye? Ye. Like that?
Parentheses, 10,000 charms.
10,000 charms? Hold on. I'm not letting you get off the phone until I figure this out.
Right.
Because I'm bothered by the charms.
Me too. There's no charms in the Bible.
Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
See, I'm not making it up.
Why? Why exactly. So many charms?
Were they on clearance?
It says, come ye weary, heavy laden. Well, we know why you're heavy laden.
That's on you. You shouldn't have picked them all up.
Sale or no sale. Nobody has a need for 10,000 charms.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.